Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 101, part 1, Where is the Kingdom of God? Today is Friday, June 5th, 2009. Thank you for joining us today. The month of June, the most beautiful month in the year. Absolutely gorgeous in Minnesota. Come to Minnesota. Well, you don't have to come to Minnesota to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665. Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online, too, at www.pastorpaul.org. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support our urban mission operations. We need your support, so help us out. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, where you can purchase our supplement, Protandim. Everybody should be taking Protandim. Twitter and YouTube. So be sure to go online, www.pastorpaul.org, and check out and join our online community. Also, when you go to the blog, you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to go there. Be sure to visit me at Hearts of Fire, the Janine Sherry podcast, coming soon. So thank you for joining me, and be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's message. There are two parts. The first part is on Friday evening. The second part is on Sunday. So have a great month, and we'll see you back here. God bless you.
Lately, I've been ministering gospel because I think it's important that we minister gospel. So many out there are not born again. And so many of us have gone to church and never received Jesus as our personal Savior, and I think it's important. Now, as we minister, and as we minister salvation to others, we find parts of ourselves in there, even though we might have been saved for 20 years. And so today we're going to talk on where is the kingdom of God? A lot of people right now are asking, where is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is within you. Right on the inside. And then if you will share what's within you, then the kingdom of God will be among us. You must receive and you must respond by sharing. You can really tell what's in a person's heart by what they talk about. If you're talking about the kingdom of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about helping others and about the word, well, that's what's within you, the kingdom of God language. Because love received is love responded to. In other words, if someone gives you love and you don't respond to it, it isn't love. You have to give out that which you have received, and if you've received the love of God, that's exactly what you're going to give out. Salvation received is something you become and something that you share. Your salvation is an ongoing thing, and you have to live it. That's like you leave your job for like 2 weeks, and you come back in the place, and it looks real different in there. Say, gee, this doesn't even look like the same place. Where am I? Or you come back after a month's vacation, you go into your drive-in, you're driving through the neighborhood, and the trees look different, and the houses look different, and the dogs and the kids look different, and your house looks different. It looks kind of weird. Sometimes when we come to the house of God, you're listening on the radio to this tape. Maybe sitting out in a boat fishing. You haven't been to church in a long, long time, and when you come, it seems kind of weird to you. You're not living that which God has told you to live. So you see, when we're saved, we talk about God's saving grace right away. I remember when I first got saved, you couldn't shut me up talking about the love of God and the grace of God. At every opportunity, I would give my testimony. You know why? Because at that particular time, we know we're saved. We know something's inside, something's changing us. How are you saved? Because we know. And the more we talk about what we know, the more we know what we talk about. Yeah, the more you share Jesus Christ, and the more you share the Word of God, and the more you share your testimony, the more real it becomes, and the more you live it, and the more you walk in it, and the kingdom of God is amongst us because you're talking about it. You bring Jesus into the conversation. You bring the kingdom of God that's within you out, and then we share it. So the kingdom of God is among us. A lot of times that we're in groups where they aren't talking about the kingdom of God, talking about the dominion of Satan, principalities and powers, earthly things, and so on like that. You just go ahead and you bring in the kingdom of God. You know, when you go into a place and you've been talking about the kingdom of God and you're prayed up, you've fasted and you've believed and you're praying for those in your job, you have a burden for them, the burden that God has given you. You just walk in there and your presence will cause a change. You know why? Because the kingdom of God is among them then. Sometimes people don't like it when you bring in the kingdom of God. Satan doesn't like that when you bring in the kingdom of God. But don't you see that whatever gets your attention gets you? What's got your attention this morning? Huh? Gee, I wish I was in bed. Could have slept. I could have slept all day. Sure you could have. Kingdom of sleep would have been within you. Or maybe the kingdom of grump. Not too long ago, I had a message on the Weiner family, or part of a message. I think we should have a message sometime on the grumpy family. The grumps, the crabby family, and the not now family, and all those different families. But if I think I'm saved, get you and get your attention, instead of I know I'm saved then, and then I think I'm saved will keep you busy with your own thinking. There's a lot of people, you ask them, are you born again? Well, I'd like to think so. Don't you see that will keep you busy with your own thinking? When you really know it is when you live it. And when you live it, it becomes part of you, and the kingdom of God within you comes out, and it's among others, and then shared, and you reap back a harvest of knowing. You see, when I know I'm saved, get your attention. You share what you know. Now, in my early years, after that I went into the service, I got into sales, and I'd go out and I'd sell things, and I got so that I was pretty good at it. And I found out that I had to know that product. And if I really knew that product and I'd really tried that product, I could sell that product. But if I tried that product and it didn't work, I couldn't sell it. I had to be sold on it myself. Then I could go out. If we're sold out to Jesus, we're going to be able to sell other people, so to speak, on the same beautiful truth. God says, lean ye not upon your own understanding. That means your thinking. Don't lean on your own thinking. Did you ever at first have a first impression of somebody and say, you know what I think about that person? And you are always wrong. Always, not. Never right. Because if it's a fleshy human opinion, you're always judging them according to the way you are. And it's always wrong. It's never right. No one knows a man's heart but God. Lean ye not upon your own understanding. But if you listen to I think, you'll go crazy trying to think your way into heaven. You don't get there by thinking. You get there by knowing. And by knowing, you work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You get there by knowing, knowing the Lord, knowing the Word, knowing what God has called you to do. Now, knowing Jesus, if you know Jesus, you're not a sitter. But I really believe if someone knows Jesus, they're going to follow Jesus. And Jesus will take you to the poor, and Jesus will take you to the sick and the lame and the halt, and Jesus will take you to the hurting. And Jesus will take you to all those places that in our humanity we wouldn't want to go. We'd go two or three times and then we get sick of it. We get sick of being nice. How do we know without God you get sick of being nice? You get sick of it. See, being nice isn't always good. Maybe God doesn't want you to be nice over there. He wants you to be good over here. You don't get there by thinking, I said, you get there by knowing. And that knowing is knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. You listening on the tape or to this radio message. Well, even in the world, they know that. They say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Isn't that a piece of scripture for you? It's not what you know. You can be the dumbest person in the world, they say, in the world. And you can be the president of a bank if you're in the know. It's the same way in the kingdom of God, don't you know? If you know Jesus, you know the Father. And if you know the Father, you know heaven. Because heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And that's all that we have to share with anyone, is the kingdom of God. But many people who are living under the law know all about Jesus Christ, but never really know Him. They minister about the old tabernacle. They minister Jesus in the manger. Jesus as a boy, and so on. And then they just sit down and they think and they think and they think. Oh, there's a lot of thinkers. There's nothing wrong with thinking sometimes. But I think before that we think, we ought to pray so we have everything in the right perspectives. Far as making money, or the far as doing this, or making a living, or raising a family. It's all right to think about what you're going to do. God says, make plans and I will establish them. But they get into this type of humanistic thinking and they think about new laws to put on each other, sort of selfish restrictions and rules to receive love from one another. You do this and I'll do that. How many hearing this? They say, I must walk this lonesome valley all by myself, and they carry on like they're doing God some great favor. Well, I'm doing my part. I went to church. I sang in the choir. I got up and I ministered. What more? I looked at people's faces for 13 years. Say amen. What is the remedy to all this? Stop thinking. Start knowing. Know Jesus in his sufferings. You want to really know Jesus? You got to know him in the sufferings. You want to suffer? You're going to know Jesus. To know Jesus, you're going to suffer. But thinking people need to get busy doing and giving and sharing to really know Jesus. You're never going to know him. And suffering sometimes is just for people just to make it to church. And if that's your particular type of suffering, praise God, God will honor it. You just suffer and come on into church and God will say, "My, you've suffered greatly just making it here. Now you're going to share. You're going to share in this message that I'm going to give this preacher today. You're going to share in this ministry and what they do." So stop thinking and start knowing and take an honest look at yourselves. You listening on the radio, this tape, maybe even sitting in here today, maybe you won't find a lot of sin, but a great lack of divine life. See, there's a lot of people that just sit home. You could lock yourself in some kind of a vault, wrap chains around that thing, and, you know, have a time lock on it. And sin right inside of that time lock. Be the worst sinner that ever was. Maybe you don't have a lot of sin. But you have a great lack of divine life. There's no life. You're locked inside of that tomb. The law gives you death and a curse. Gives you a striving to keep the whole law with self-power. And self-power says, look religious. So much play acting goes on. Unbelievable. Well, you have to be a good actor in the world scene. How you doing? Fine. Great. You want to get on top, you know, you got to smile. They got millions of books on how to handle yourself and how to look and grooming and all of this. How to get ahead in life and 110,000 ways to, you know, succeed in life. How do they climb to the very top of the dunghill? They got all that. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. That's what I'm talking about today. Not talking about getting into a system. I'm talking about becoming part of the kingdom of God. But look religious. Go to church, and even some churches, you'll wail a little louder. Pray in high C so your veins are just popping right out and your eyes are bugging out of your head. Smile just right. How many caught yourself being a phony every once in a while? Oh, I do. Lord, I hate it. I get convicted right away. I'm sitting there smiling with somebody and I'm thinking, well, I don't even feel like smiling. What am I smiling for? Oh, man, this is hard. Isn't that right? Isn't it? You can dress yourself up any old way you want to. It still comes out the same way. You got to tell yourself, but I'm saved, saved, saved. You got to remind yourself. You got to remind yourself that you no longer belong to yourself, but you belong. You are property. You are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel, glory to God, and you won't have to feel like that anymore. You won't have to feel like a phony because you are no more. There's a part of you left, but there's that incorruptible seed that's on the inside that says give glory to God, and God will give you some of that glory to grow in the spiritual realm I'm talking about today. And as soon as you start to lose yourself, the Bible says, then you start to gain yourself. You gain your life. You lose the old Paul. Praise God for it too. And you lose the old Henry and the old Fred and the old John and the old Bill. And you lose that. And you just get all done play acting. That takes away all the fear and all the frustration and all the trying to be and the acting out. And oh, it's hard to act out all those parts. And you can be yourself, hidden in Christ and God, and say, Lord, I'm nothing. Do something with me. Use me in a real way. But the law gives you a death and a curse and a striving to keep the whole law, I said. And then we'll tell people that in order to be saved and stay saved, they must look like us, that they must talk like us, that they must think like us, that they must hear like us, and that they must feel like us. And then we come into emotional things again in a lot of instances. And there's a lot of that preaching going on too. Imagine 200 Christians walking head down, and they're singing the, we got to walk that lonesome valley, and they're all walking in one big solid group. Now, is that going to draw anybody to Jesus Christ? I don't think so. All walking along, singing down in the valley, valley so low, reading my law books, and boy, am I low. No, I'll tell you, folks, if there isn't an excitement on the inside of you, it's because you're not talking about Jesus. It's because we're not praying. It's because we're not believing. That's why. Because what we believe in, that we preach and we talk about. Now, people love their children, and that's all they talk about. Some mothers get tremendously boring talking about little Junior, especially when he's a towhead. But that's their first love, and that's all right. Well, why can't we do the very same thing with the Lord? Aren't we always lifting up them little ones? Aren't we? Well, don't we? Well, no, I got into that. I thought everybody loved my baby the same way I did. Baby! Baby! And you put them right up in their face. Baby, huh? It's not the way it is. There's only one that loves you that way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as little children, it says in the Bible, to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Don't come with all your pomp and all your circumstance and with all of your thinking. Your thinking isn't going to get you anywhere. Your thinking will leave you miserable and wretched and poor. Well, because you think you're rich and have need of nothing. Because you think that you have a full barn, that you tear that barn down and build a bigger barn. And you don't even know that tonight you might even be called to the Lord. You see, what I'm talking about here today is the kingdom of God is within you. And if you share it, it'll be amongst us. What do you think's wrong then, preacher? I think we need to do a reverse repent. Double to the rear. To the right flank march. Ho! Because we're hooked on nothing and we're going nowhere if we're not hooked into the Lord, if He isn't the center. And I believe these people have been going in the wrong direction with a train let's call imperfection. They need to turn around and stop confessing other people's sins. Well, I never. Did you hear? Well, not really? Huh, you know. Start to confess our own sins. Now, if any one of you in here that doesn't have any, has no sins, have not sinned all this week, come forward. I want to learn the secret that you have. I want to know what the secret is. See, a lot of times before I was saved, I thought if I didn't, rob a bank or shoot somebody or things like that, it was really good. I didn't sin. Now I'd get sort of self-righteous because I didn't do those things. Gee, I've been a good boy. I haven't drank in, a month. Well, maybe an occasional. See what I'm saying? If any man say he be without sin, he is a liar, the Bible says, and there is no truth in him. Not part truth, no truth. But then I find when others see that we repent right from the pulpit here and confess, then they want what we've got, and we've got grace, which is sufficient, by the way. I think we need to confess to God daily. I have been a coward. I have laid things on others, and I blame my condition on others. A lot of people blame their condition on other people. Well, you know why I'm this way, aren't you? You never knew my dad. You never knew my mother. Everybody complains about their moms and their dad, and they can be beautiful. One time I ministered to a girl, and I was a young preacher, and I wasn't a young preacher, I was young at preaching. I've always been old. My mother even said, you know what, when I looked at you when you were just a little baby, they brought him in and said, this is an old man I'm looking at. I said, thanks a lot, Ma. No, but she meant that I looked at her with an old look. But still, thanks a lot. Do you see what I'm getting at here? Praise the Lord, people. We are entering into the kingdom of God preaching. And we've got to start to preach the kingdom of God. If we don't preach it, how are people going to know it's among them? How can there be an invasion when they don't know that there are some invaders coming? How are they going to even think about the sword when we don't even show it? They just think, oh, is there a church in the neighborhood? Yeah, there's one. I think there's one on the corner, some big old building down that way. And they're all over, old, dusty buildings. I have to confess, at times I've been a coward. I've laid things on others and blamed my condition on them. I go, oh, well, this is the way I am. This is why I'm this way. Ooh, I have to say, and I think we should all say, I'm guilty. I take the blame. And stop this useless regretting. Oh, I regret my life. I do. If I had my life to live over, spare people. Don't live your life over again. Realize how much damage we've done in our whole of our life, especially before we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and in some cases even more after we receive Jesus, but the grace of God keeps you anyway. Oh, if I had my life to live over. No. No, we don't need anyone to live their life over. It's given once for man to live and once to die. That is enough. Praise the Lord. Well, when will I go? I don't know. Maybe you're sitting in here today. Maybe my preaching. Maybe this will be the last time you see me, or the last time I see you. And if I don't preach the kingdom of God, the Bible says, woe be it to him that doesn't minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woe be it to that preacher. Now even in the sky, they're finding there's a dark black hole up there. The Bible speaks of a place called hell. Oh, but let's not frighten anyone. Let's don't talk about the kingdom of God and all that, because, oh, we're rich and in Christian goods and we got everything. I got 4 suits at home and I got a car and I'm soon going on retirement. That tells you you're coming to the end of your road. Doesn't it? Or you read in the paper, well, some great athlete has a motorcycle accident and dies instantaneously. Someone trips over a stone in the road, bumps their head, that's it. So I have to say, and I think we should all say, Christians, that we have to honestly, even bitterly repent right along with others. Those that aren't born again. In Luke 13, starting in verse 3, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 who were in the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, this is a word you're going to have to give out. And in Romans 2, 1 through 4, therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same things yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you lightly think lightly of the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Repentance, then, is the negative side. It releases you to return to God. Now, maybe I'm talking about unsaved people, but maybe we need to repent on certain things. Maybe we're all bound up on certain things and we need to repent so we can return to God. So that we can enter the throne room of God and say, Father, I have a petition here. I have a prayer need here. There's someone that needs prayer. But oh Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. And repent. Openly and bitterly go up and say, God, I've been phonying out all week on you. Well, you say, wait a minute, you made me realize I'm a total mess. We all are when we leave God for an instant. No, but I must go to Adam's beauty parlor. I must make myself better. Forget it. You can't make yourself any better. You know why? The incorruptible seed that's in you cannot be made better. If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, the incorruptible seed within you cannot perish. But you perish day by day. Praise God. And I hear praise God, for a lot of people say, praise God, he's perishing. Praise God, she's perishing a little bit at a time. And praise God yourself for it. There is only one that's worthy, and that's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. He's the only worthy one. Oh, now he's my worthiness. Jesus Christ the Son. He's my righteousness. He's the Holy One. He's the Father's way of giving a life that's my forgiveness and making me a son to call his own. Huh? There is only one. We should start to sing, all of us. Just like I am, without a plea, Lord Jesus came. Oh, and delivered me. You see, when we start to talk about the kingdom of God and we get into the Word and we start to live it, we're not critical of other people because God shows us ourselves. And we die daily, it says in the Bible. And we gladly do. That's why he says it in the Bible. I die daily because he wants to. It's a confession. I want to die daily that I may know Jesus.
And then we're not so quick to be critical of others, and we can minister the kingdom of God that's welling up on the inside, for that which we speak up becomes part of us, and that which becomes part of us, we speak out just like we do of our little baby.
So if you tear